And we're going to get right into this lesson in just a second. But let me just first mention this. Men, don't forget, right after the service today, it's our end of season barbecue at Bob Tripp's house. It's always a great time. It's going to be great food. It's going to be a great time of hanging out together. And guys, you want to make sure that you go to this. And if you don't know where Bob lives, if you don't know how to get to his house, there's some directions for you out on the counter in the lobby. Pick up some directions on your way out. It's real close. You really can't miss it, but pick up some directions if you need them. And let me say this to the men as well. Next week, we're going to finish up with 40 days in the Word. And then the following Sunday, my friends Mark and Judy Reynolds from Water for Life Worldwide are going to be here. And then on Sunday, June 10th, I'm going to start a new series of messages about Samson. And this series is really for men. And so, men, I want you to get fired up. I want you to get geeked up for this series on Samson. And here's the thing, ladies, you're going to get to do a lot of this, like in that series. But there'll be plenty for the ladies to learn too. In fact, you might learn quite a bit about the guy that you live with, or the guy that you're thinking about living with, or the guys that you have lived with in the past. And so it's going to be a great time. Sam, if you don't know Samson, go to Judges chapter 14, start reading about Samson. Amazing story in the Bible. So today we're going to kind of lay the groundwork to wrap this thing up. We're going to talk about how to keep on going in the Word of God. We're going to talk about how to maintain a heart for God's Word. We're going to talk about how to continue the habits that we've developed over the last 5 weeks. Here's what Jesus said in John 8. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings." Not if you spend 40 days in my teachings, not if you get into my teachings for a month and some change, but if you remain faithful to my teachings, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The key words there are remain faithful. This campaign, this emphasis, is not about doing this for 40 days and then stopping. We're attempting to develop habits that will last a lifetime. Jesus said, if you remain faithful, if you continue in my word, if you stay in my teaching, the truth will set you free. Folks, our freedom in life is dependent upon continuing in the Word of God. And I know Christ followers, and you probably know Christ followers, and you know they don't live in freedom, and you know the reason they don't live in freedom is because they're never in God's Word. They don't know the truth, and so they live enslaved by the world and all of its trappings. So we're going to talk about how to maintain a heart for God's Word. We're going to talk about how to integrate the Word of God in every area of life. Now, integration is the opposite of segregation. Segregation means to separate into groups. Sometimes in our life, we talk about it as compartmentalization. We separate or compartmentalize our lives. We cut up our life like a pie. And okay, this is my church life, and this is my personal life, and this is my business life, and this is my home life, and this is my social life. We segment our lives, and so therefore we live a segregated life. And here's the thing, we must understand this. If you do not have an integrated life, then your life lacks integrity. If you don't have an integrated life, your life lacks integrity. Integration and integrity come from the same word. To have integrity means to live your life integrated. It means to live your life whole. In other words, you don't act one way with one group of people and another way with another group of people. You don't act different at home than you do at church. You don't act different at work than you do at home. You act the same in every area of your life because your life is integrated. You live with integrity. Now, I want that for our lives. I want us to be men of the Word. I want us to be men of integrity. I want us to be women of the Word. I want us to be women of integrity. So how does that happen? How do we become men and women of the Word of God? Well, it doesn't happen unless we have desire. If we do not desire it, if we do not intend to be men and women of the Word, we will not. It will not happen. It begins with desire. I want you to see this in Psalm 119, verse 20. He said, "I'm always overwhelmed with a desire for your regulations." The writer, King David, is saying that he wants to be, he desires to be a man of the Word. I desire your Word, God. No matter where I am or what I'm doing, I want to be a man of the Word, David says. And for us, at home, at work, at Little League, at soccer, with my kids, I want to be a man of the Word. We have to want to be men of the Word. We have to want to be women of the Word. We have to want our life to be led and guided and directed by the Word of God. And I want us to discover how to do that. And so we're going to discover today how to be men and women of the Word in six simple steps. And the steps come right out of the six Bible verses that we've been memorizing the last 6 weeks. If we will memorize these six verses and build our lives around them, we will become men and women of the Word. All right, so let's roll. To become a man or woman of the Word, I must build on the Word of God. I must build on the Word of God. I must make the Bible the foundation for my life. Because the foundation of our life will determine the structure that we build on top of it. We must build our lives on the Bible. Now, Jesus talks about this in Matthew 7. He's wrapping up his most famous sermon. We've seen it many times in the series, Matthew 7:24. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Now listen, the Word of God never changes. Truth never changes. If you build your life on the truth, on the Word of God, you will have a solid foundation for your life. On the other hand, if you build your life on the shifting sands of opinion or whatever happens to be popular, then your life is going to be on shaky ground. The foundation will not hold steady and the house will come down. We must begin by building our life on the Word of God. And we just need to tell God, I'm going to build my life on your word, the Bible. I don't always understand it. I don't always like it. But even if I don't like what you say, God, I'm going to build my life on what you say because I know you're not going to lie to me. It is the truth. Now, here's the problem. Most people build their lives on unreliable and shaky foundations. Here are four examples. Some people build their life on popular culture. In other words, they just do what everybody else does. If it's popular, it must be right, so they'll follow it. They just do what everybody else does. And here's the deal. What's popular today will be unpopular tomorrow. What's cool today, not cool tomorrow. It's shaky. Now look at this instruction that God gave his people way back in Moses' day, Exodus 23:2. You must not follow the crowd in doing wrong. Don't just follow the crowd. Don't just follow pop culture. Here's another shaky thing to build your life on, tradition. Many people build their life on tradition. We'll say things like, well, I've always done this. My parents have always done this. My grandparents have always done this. Now, here's the thing. Tradition isn't bad. It became a tradition because it worked. But no tradition lasts forever. Truth lasts forever, but tradition does not last forever. They wear out. They become obsolete. Jesus said this to the religious leaders of his day in Mark 7:8, for you ignore God's law and substitute your own tradition. All right, just truth. We have to be careful about this as a church. We have to be careful to never substitute tradition for the truth. And we must be careful about this in our individual lives. Here's a third one, reason. You can't build your life on reason. Now, we all need reason. God has given us the ability to reason. But sometimes our reasoning is not right. Sometimes it's not correct. And we'll say things like, well, I've always thought. It doesn't really matter what we thought or what we think. What matters is truth. What matters is what is right. What's the right thing to do in this circumstance? If we rely solely on our own intellect, we'll end up making big mistakes. And some of those mistakes will be very costly. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:25, there's a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. We make decisions that we think are reasonable, And sometimes they don't turn out so well. We'll reason things out. We'll say, you know, I think I need to marry this person. I need to start my own business. I need to take this job. I need to make the investment. And they seem like the absolute right thing to do according to our reasoning. But listen, our reasoning is not infallible. Now, the most important one to avoid is the last one, and that's emotion. Some people build their life on emotion. They build their life on their feelings. If it feels right, do it. If it feels good, do it. If I don't feel like doing it, don't do it. If it feels right, it must be right. The problem with that is that feelings lie. We lie to ourselves all the time. We call it rationalization. We call it rationalizing. Feelings are unreliable. And by the way, a lot of times to get anything done, you have to do what you don't feel like doing. I mean, there's probably maybe, I don't know, 15, 20% of us that can't wait to go to work tomorrow. Some of us are just that sick. We're looking forward to going to work tomorrow. Most of us, we're going to go even though we don't want to, even though we don't feel like it. True? Absolutely. Check this out. Maturity in life, in our spiritual lives, is all about acting according to our values, according to our convictions, according to what is right, rather than what we feel like doing. Judges 21:25 says, "In those days, Israel had no king, and all the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes." Sounds a lot like today. It seems like it's all about people just doing what they feel like doing. And here's the sad truth about our culture, because we live this way. It's making a mess of our relationships. It's making a mess of our view of marriage and family. And it's making a mess of the church. We must build our lives on the Word of God. When we don't agree with it, when we don't like it, when it's not convenient, when it's not politically correct. By the way, what God has defined, man may not redefine. What God has said is true, cannot be altered by man, even in the good old USA. Truth is truth. The Word of God is true. We must build our lives on God's truth. Number two, we have to feed on the Word of God. We have to build on the Word of God, and then we have to feed on the Word of God. The second way to integrate the Word of God into your life is to feed on it. Feed yourself on the Word of God. Now, the Bible tells us that the Word of God, the Bible, is spiritual food. The Bible is referred to as water, milk, bread, and meat for our spiritual lives. The Bible has what we need for our spiritual sustenance and nourishment. We must be feeding ourselves on the Word of God. Just like we need physical food for physical strength, we need spiritual food for spiritual strength. Now, the Bible describes our lives as a building, so we have to build on the Word of God. And the Bible also says that we're in a spiritual battle. You're not going to have much success building if you're starving. And you're not going to have much success in a battle if you're starving. We must feed ourselves on the Word of God. Now, here's a verse that we looked at in our small groups a couple weeks ago, Colossians 3:16. "Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives." I don't know about you, but I like rich food. It doesn't necessarily like me, but I like rich food. The Word of God is rich. We need to let the Word of God in its richness fill our lives. We must allow the message of Christ, the Word of God, to fill our lives. Other translations say, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly." Let it dwell in you. Let it move into you. Let it inhabit you. Let it take up residence. Let it remain in a rich, profound, life-giving, and life-changing way. Now, we must feed on the Word of God. And let me just list a few ways that happens. We feed on the Word of God, or I feed on the Word of God when I receive it with my ears. We must hear the Word of God. That's why we're here, to hear the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. Our faith grows when we hear the Word of God taught. That means that we attend a service like this. We listen to the Word of God preached. When we hear the Word of God, our faith grows. I need to hear it with my ears, and then I need to read it with my eyes. God gave us the Bible so we would read it. It's not enough to have a Bible. It's not enough to have a Bible in your house. We have to have the Word of God in our hearts. We read it with our eyes, and it goes into our hearts. Number three, I have to research it with my hands and with my mouth. Now, this is all about studying the Word of God. Now, the difference between reading the Bible and studying the Bible is when you study the Bible, you write something down. You read the Bible, you recite it out loud, and then you write something down. You write down what God is saying to you. You keep a journal of what God is saying to you. And then you speak it, you share it with others. That's what small groups are all about. You share what God is doing in your life through His Word. You speak to your small group what you're learning from the Bible. Number four, I reflect on the Word of God with my mind. We spend time thinking about what we heard and read and spoke. We meditate on the truth that God is teaching us in His Word. We think about it. We chew on it. We talk to ourselves about what God has said. I don't know about you, but many times I have to have a little talk with me. Like almost every moment of every day. I reflect on the Word of God. Number five, I remember the Word of God in my heart. That's about memorizing the Word of God. Now, let me give you this picture. It's like making a cup of tea. Get some hot water and a tea bag. To make tea, I have to immerse the tea bag in the water. And if I dunk it in one time and take it out, what happened? Very little. See, receiving the Bible with my ears is like dipping the tea bag in the water one time. That's what many of you do. You come here on Sunday morning and you get dipped in the water one time. And maybe a little something starts to happen. But to really make something happen, you've got to keep dunking it in there. You've got to keep dipping it in there. You've got to keep soaking it in there. Over and over again, you got to let it go in there. One time's not enough. Hearing the Word of God with your ears is not enough. What you get here on Sunday morning is not enough. If you dip the tea bag in the water over and over again, that water will begin to turn brown as it turns into tea. And the water really begins to absorb the color and the flavor and the aroma and the character. And it turns into tea. And the same thing is true with the Bible. If I come back and if I read it with my eyes, and I begin to research it and study it and write something down, if I begin to talk to other people about it, and then I reflect on it, immersing myself in it over and over again, it's going to change me. And then if you memorize a verse or a passage, you really begin to absorb the color and the flavor and the aroma and the character of the Word of God. And eventually it becomes a part of your nature and a part of your character. To become a man or woman of the Word of God, I must build on the Word of God, and I must feed on the Word of God, and I must live by the Word of God. You've got to build on it, and you have to feed on it, and then you have to live by it. Now, I want you to listen carefully to this next statement, because This is a foreign concept in our world, even among Christians, even among Christ followers. The Word of God is not only food for your soul, the Word of God is to be your standard for living. The Word of God has set the standard by which you judge everything else of value in your life. It's the standard by which you make your decisions about the things that you're facing in life. Now, we must build our lives on something, and we must base our decisions on something. Look at this in Psalm 1. The Bible says in verse 1, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night." They're soaking in it day and night. "And they're like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season." Not just faithful, but fruitful. "And their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." That means that you don't base your life on the counsel or wisdom of the world. It means you don't live your life based on what the world thinks. You meditate on the Word of God, and you live your life based on what God thinks and on what God says. And listen, it is the Word of God that will give us hope in a crisis. It's the Word of God that brings hope in a time of despair. It's the Word of God that brings strength when we're weak. It's the Word of God that provides wisdom when we're confused. It's the Word of God that gives guidance when we need direction. It's the Word of God that gives us the power to resist temptation. Psalm 119:11, "I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." That's what memorizing Scripture is all about. It's about having the tools to comply with God's commands and with God's leadings. It's the ammo that we need to avoid sin in our lives. You know, in Matthew 4, we find the account of Jesus out in the wilderness. And he was out there for, wait for it, 40 days. I wonder where it came up with that number. Jesus was out there for 40 days, fasting and preparing for his ministry. And the Bible says that on three different occasions, the devil came and tempted Jesus. And on all three occasions, Jesus quoted the Bible to avoid and resist the temptation. Listen, this isn't in your notes, but you might want to write it down. It's the only weapon that Jesus used to defend himself. Did you catch that? Scripture was the only weapon that Jesus used to defend himself against the devil. He's the almighty God of the universe. He's the creator of the universe. He is the sustainer of this universe. And his only weapon was Scripture. Now, here's the deal. We don't always have the Bible with us. If we're going to live by the Word of God, we must know the Word of God. There's going to be times when you need a Scripture, and the Holy Spirit will bring it to your mind because you memorized it. And you know, you can help yourself, and you may even help somebody else. To live by the Word of God, we must have it in us. So listen, here's what happens. When the hot water in the cup has absorbed the color, the flavor, the aroma, and the character of the tea, something else happens. It takes on an entirely new identity. It's no longer a cup of water. It's a cup of tea. And when you let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, you absorb the nature of Christ. You absorb the flavor and the aroma of Christ. You absorb the character of Christ. And something else happens to you. You take on a whole new identity. And you begin to become the man or the woman of God that God has always intended for you to be. You change, and you begin to live by the Word of God. Here's another one. To become a man or woman of the Word, I must grow through the Word of God. The Bible is often referred to as a seed. It gets planted in your heart. And when the truth gets planted in your heart, it grows and it produces fruit in your life. And God wants us to live fruitful lives. for that to happen, we must have a receptive heart. Psalm 119:18 says, God, open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. That's openness. That's a receptive heart. That's being open to the Word of God. To become a man or woman of the Word, we must be open and receptive to the Word of God. Now, Jesus told an entire story about this in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 4. One day Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. He said, a farmer went out to plant his seed. And as he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on and the birds ate it. And other seed fell among rocks. It began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. But still other seed fell on fertile soil. And this seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. And when he had said this, he called out, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. See, this represents four different attitudes that you can have toward the Bible. The first one he talks about is hardened soil. The hardened soil represents a closed mind. Honest, truth. There are times when we do not give God the opportunity to speak to us. Our minds are closed to the Word of God. We're not going to listen. We don't want to hear what God has to say about relationships, about sex, about marriage, about raising children, or about money. We're just going to shut him off because he's stepping a little too close to where we live. Sometimes our hearts can be hard. We have a closed mind. Then he talks about shallow soil. The shallow soil represents a superficial mind. Many times we react superficially to the Bible. We come to church, listen to the message, maybe even like the message, but we forget it before we even get to the car. The truth doesn't really sink in. It lands on the surface, but it never penetrates our heart. Then he talks about soil with weeds. The soil with weeds represents a preoccupied mind. The Word of God gets planted in our heart. It makes it to our heart. Then other things come along and choke the life out of it. Worry, busyness, money, jobs, all kinds of other junk crowded out of our heart. We allow things to distract us from the truth that God has planted in our hearts. I'd have to say that for us, the biggest hindrance to Christ being formed in us is busyness. We live on the west side. We pretty much go 110 all the time with our hair on fire. And we allow things, busyness, to choke the Word of God out of our lives. But then he talks about good soil. Good soil represents a willing mind. Good soil is where the seed of truth gets planted in your brain and it gets planted in your heart and it's allowed to develop and grow. And its roots get deep and then fruit is produced. And a willing mind is humble and teachable and eager to hear from God. It's eager to learn from God. And that leads us to step five. If you want to be a woman of the Word, if you want to be a man of the Word, you got to build on it, and you have to feed on it, and you have to live by it, and it's got to grow in you. You have to grow through it. And then number five, I must act on the Word of God. If I'm going to be a man or woman of the Word of God, I have to act on the Word of God. One of our memory verses is James 1:22. But don't just listen to God's Word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Listen, we said this from the very beginning. We say it all the time. We only believe of the parts of the Bible that we actually do. We can hear it, read it, speak it, write something down, but we don't really have it until it changes our behavior. Next Sunday, we're going to finish this up talking about how to do what it says. So let's look at one more factor in integrating the Word of God. I have to trust the Word of God. You have to trust the Word of God. Listen, God is never going to lead you in the wrong direction. Other people will. Well-meaning people will. I've had people give me the wrong advice. You've had people give you the wrong advice. Well-meaning people, people with good intentions. God will never do that. You can always trust Him. You can always trust His Word. Psalm 119:105 says, God, Your Word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. God will lead us. God will light the way. And so let me challenge you this way. Keep doing what you've been doing for the last 40 days. Keep trusting the Word of God. Keep doing what you're doing because God will never lead you the wrong way. The world will, well-meaning friends will, but God never will. Would you pray with me? Father God, we're so thankful for Your Word. And we're thankful, Father, that it is true, that it is trustworthy. We are thankful, Father, that You will never lead us the wrong way. Your wisdom, Your advice, Your truth will always be spot on for our lives, no matter where we are, who we are, where we come from, or where we're going. And so while we thank You for Your Word, Lord, we ask that You would change us by Your Word. We pray, God, that Your Word would come alive in our lives, that it would be active in our lives, that it would change our lives, that we would begin to take on the color and the flavor and the aroma and the character of our Savior Jesus Christ. And we pray this for every one of our lives. And we pray this for our church family. And we pray all this for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.